Hi there, boys and girls. This is Jello Biafra, and you're listening to CFMU 93.3 FM. Why?
It's pretty incredible once you reach the top, because if you tie in on a hard line to the anchors and you turn around and look behind you, you can see all the fields, the farm, and just see the natural landscape, and it's so peaceful.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Reed, and I'm the owner of this climbing place. Myself and my wife, Karen, run this climbing gym. We've been here since October 94, so just a little over 9 years. My father actually started me. I've been doing it for 26 years, since I was 10 years old. He was interested in it, and he got me involved, and I wanted to open a climbing gym since I was 17 years old, and it wasn't until I was 28 or so that I finally had the experience and a few dollars in my pocket to actually be able to try it, to actually be able to do it. There's a big variety of people. We do have lots of kids, like these kids here. We do a lot of birthday parties and that sort of thing. We have some parents who come in and hold the rope for their kids, do lessons for adults. We do some corporate groups. And a lot of our customers are just people who walk in off the street, but they already have experience elsewhere, so they're experienced climbers. So there's a whole range of ages and interests. You have to have experience and or training in the safety end of things. So in other words, you have to know about the ropes, the harnesses, the knots, how they work, what to do when someone falls, and that sort of thing. But as far as the actual climbing goes, it's pretty intuitive, and you can just kind of flail up them, or some people take it very seriously and they have technique training and that sort of thing, and some people just have fun and just climb. The safest way to climb, well, as long as whatever type of climbing you choose to do, you have professional and detailed instruction, then you're pretty much, you should be reasonably safe. Now, there's certain things like mountaineering, where you're more at the mercy of the weather, that are certainly more dangerous. The indoor rock climbing is pretty controlled. Everything's kind of set up, and you just sort of walk up and do it. One of the very first things we say in our training here is that this training is specific to indoor rock climbing, and that there are definitely things you would need to know to climb safely outside before you could go and do it. The biggest growing part of the sport, becoming very popular, it's called bouldering. And what that means is climbing things that, within reason, are safe to climb without a rope. So anything, typically it's 12 feet or lower. And you could climb it without a rope, and when you fall off, you just fall onto the ground. So that sort of thing, I mean, there's really very, very little training required, and it's becoming very popular indoors and out. It's like anything. If you drive recklessly and don't have proper training, I would say it's pretty high risk. But if you drive conservatively and have training, then I would say it's low risk. And I think the same applies to climbing. The number one thing in climbing is balance. So we tend to find it's a fantastic sport for women, because women tend to have better natural balance than men, the lower center of gravity. And so if you have a natural sense of balance, you might not even know it, but people tend to take to it really well. If you have a background in dance, gymnastics, martial arts, those things are very balance intensive, you probably will do well in climbing. And if you don't have natural balance, you will learn pretty quickly. Like, you kind of have to. It's sort of sink or swim, you know? And then secondary to balance is strength. And that doesn't mean that you have to be a typically male powerful but you would have to work out the muscles that matter, and it's actually not so much your arms, but your forearms. In other words, the muscles that close your hand. If you do it regularly, your hands, because the common complaint, and we always joke about it with people when they try it, is that they always say, well, you know, if you gave me $1 million to sign my name, I don't think I could do it, because your hands just get so tired and your forearms just get, the first couple times you try it. But in time, like anything, those muscles get used to it and they get more fit. And then I think the next thing is strategy. It's not as just sort of left, right, go up a ladder as you might think. It's we try and design the climb so that you have to figure out how to get up to the top. It's not just can you hold on, but can you figure out the right path to take? So we design them so that if you don't watch what you're doing, you're going to reach up and put your hand on something that'll get you stuck in a corner, figuratively speaking, and you'll have to go down a bit and try again. You know, it had that sort of air of, hey, we can do something like exciting and on the edge and dangerous, and because it has that appearance, you know. Whereas when you really get to understand what it's about, there's very little that's dangerous about it. It's certainly different. And it's athletic, and it's dangerous looking, which attracts people, but there are competitions. There's not a lot of money in the sport as an athlete, very little money. The wealthiest climbers in the world are, I don't know how much they make, but I doubt they make $70,000 a year. And there's not very many of those people around. But there is a reasonably healthy competition circuit, but it's more for the joy of it. Top prize is typically $300. We supply, if you don't have your own equipment, then we supply it here for rent. Mandatory is a harness. So you need some way to properly, safely attach yourself to the rope, climbing harness. And then climbing shoes are not required, but most people use them because they make it a lot easier. It's just a tight shoe that gives you a much better grip on the wall, and especially if you want to try and stand on small footholds. And then there's really only a third piece of equipment for indoor climbing, and that's chalk. And about half of all climbers use chalk. If your hands, frankly, are sweaty, then it's hard to hold on. So people, you can see them on the back of some of the people's harnesses. They have a little bag on their bottom there, and that's got chalk in it.
Hello, my name is Madeline, and I'm going to play a song I made up called Mountain. Listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
just and the rook of me, Kurur or umfal just a can a la huich is me, Yev me on ui, I guess gran or echem, Nach reichen et on echen or. O ichi, hi min amor vena, O ichi, hi min akor.
My name's Denise Magnini, and we're at Gravity Climbing Gym in Hamilton. I am here to climb. This is my recreational activity, my stress relief. It could be anywhere from an hour and a half to 4 hours in the gym. Outdoors, we'll do all day.
Can you climb outdoors as well?
Yes. The most popular places around here are Rattlesnake Point, which also has a lower section called Buffalo Crag, and Mount Nemo. And there's two styles of climbing, or three styles actually, that you can do outdoors. One is top rope, which is very similar to in here, like with the ropes that go all the way up and come all the way back down to the floor. Normally you would set up your own top rope line. There's also sport climbing. And if you look at this wall up here where there's what we call quick draws, hanging,
yeah.
And you would clip your own rope in as you go up. And then there's another style which is called traditional or trad climbing, where you actually place nuts and cams and things like this into cracks in the rock and then clip your rope in, so you place all of your protection. Indoor is great training, especially for like very technical and strength training type of thing. Outdoor is a lot more fun. There's no holds barred, seems to be less restriction. Pretty much everything's in. You have to find your own route, whereas here it's very laid out for you. You have pink hold, blue hold, green holds. It's a little simpler to find your way. More problem solving outside. Oh, we've made a lot of friends and met a lot of different people here. Basically, we set up day trips, just bump into people, or actually we've even set up some weekend trips to Kentucky. A bunch of us have gone to Nevada for a week, and it's all people we've met here climbing with, and I don't know, made friends.
What got you started?
Actually, my roommate in first year university rock climbed. Her older brother made a lot of the first ascents at Mount Nemo. So she had sort of been brought into it, and I met her in university. She says, hey, you got to try this. It's really cool. So.
How was it your first time? Like?
Weird. It was very weird because I was a bit afraid of heights. Now I'm not afraid of heights. I'm just afraid of hitting the ground.
it wasn't the fall that killed them, it was the landing.
Exactly.
Yeah. How do you get over something like that?
I don't think you really get over. I think you actually develop more of a healthier respect for the height itself, your environment, as well as your protection that you're using. You really learn to trust your gear, as well as your partner, who happens to be what we call a belayer. They're on the other end of your rope. They are your lifeline. You build quite a very, very deep trust with them, especially when you get into traditional and sport climbing. Outdoor climbing, it's easier if you start off with a friend who has all the gear. Then all you need is a harness, a belay device maybe, a couple of hard lines. It's always better if you start off with somebody who really knows what they're doing and has all the gear, and they can walk you through it. There's a lot of outdoor adventure groups around here that do a lot of that first time out in a group and show you the ropes. You need a harness, you don't necessarily need shoes, but it's helpful. Some of us need chalk bags. what else do you need? A couple of locking carabiners, a belay device, a 60-meter rope, some slings to tie off, make a top rope, and your anchors. Pretty much all you need, but $150.
Good.
It's pretty incredible once you reach the top, because if you tie in on a hard line to the anchors and you turn around and look behind you, you can see all the fields, the farm, and just see the natural landscape, and it's so peaceful. And there's usually a lot of hawks and turkey vultures flying around over your head too, so you're a lot closer to nature than you normally are. It's a great sport for young and old. It's fabulous for kids. It teaches them really great problem-solving abilities, develops their balance, and for older people like myself, getting into 30s and 40s, there's actually more people of that age group than you would ever suspect. My mom is petrified of heights. She finally, for the first time, I've been doing this for 5 years, for the very first time, my mom came out and saw me last winter. And she actually watched me go across and do the roof.
Whoa.
She managed not to scream, which was very impressive. But yes, it's taken her that long to come out and actually see what I do and what's involved. My dad thinks it's really cool, and whenever he's around, he likes to come and visit and watch us climb for a little bit.
Hello, my name's Evelina. I'm going to play a song called Red Hill Valley.
I'm Noam Chomsky. You're listening to Radio Free School on CFMU 93.3.
It's all right. That's in every contract. That's what they call a sanity clause. You can't fool me. There ain't no sanity clause.
Well, you win the white carnation.
Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? Giddy and foolish all day long. Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? A horse and a flea and three blind mice sat on a curbstone shooting dice. The horse, he slipped and fell on the flea. Whoops, said the flea, there's a horse on me. Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? Giddy and foolish all day long. Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? Eli, Eli, he sells socks, 5 cents a pair and $1 a box. The longer you wear 'em, the shorter they get. You put 'em in the water and they don't get wet. Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? giddy and foolish all day long. Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy?
I was rubbing, I was scrubbing, soaking in my tub, and then something gave a pull on my toes. I went hubble, rubble, rubble. I figured it was trouble when a blue frog jumped on my nose. Bubbles in the air, bubbles in my hair, he said. I was looking for you everywhere. I shoot him out the window, I shout him from the door. Stay away, blue frog, don't you come here anymore. He croaked and did a little bow and whirled a twirling spin. Then he hopped away on his two blue legs and a silly little blue frog grin. I was shaking, I was baking, making up a cake, and then something wiggled out of the mold. I heard hubble, rubble, bubble. I figured it was trouble when the blue frog did a rock and roll. He blew bubbles in the air, bubbles in my hair. He said, I was looking for you everywhere. I shoot him out the window, I shouted from the door. Stay away, blue frog, don't you come here anymore. He croaked and did a little bow and whirled a twirling spin. Then he hopped away on his two blue legs and a silly little blue frog grin. I was washing, cleaning all my clothes, and then something shook the washing machine. I heard hubble, rubble, bubble. I figured it was trouble when the blue frog came out green. He said, thank you for the rubbing, thank you for the scrubbing, for the shaking and the baking in the bowl, and the washing and the splashing. I'm glad to be green again, cause blue had got me feeling so low. Bubbles in the air, bubbles in my hair, he said, I was looking for you everywhere. Bubbles in the air, bubbles in my hair, he said, thanks, I was looking for you everywhere.
Hi, welcome to the How to Be Very crazy show. Because the pig was 8 years old and beat him up.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
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 I know you are, but what am I? Infinity.
Do you love being crazy?
Yes.
Why is Daddy's boot so dirty?
He goes hiking of them.
Ah.
And we were climbing rocks, and Daddy got his boots muddy.
Ah. Did he ever drop them in the toilet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's very funny. Have anything else to talk about?
Yes, well, once we were going hiking, and Mommy said, why didn't you run up that hill? So I did. I ran up the hill, and then I said, I want to run back down the hill. And there was a whole bunch of dirty, sobby mud, and there was a mud puddle at the bottom, and it was so big, and there was a fish inside it. And then I didn't notice it. I thought it was only a ground, and I dashed down the hill.
Mud?
No, yeah, and I ran down the hill and I fell in the dirt, and then I fell in the mud puddle.
But it was dirty.
Yeah, it wasn't dirt.
time I see you, remind me not to talk to you, will you?
Here's a song that I'm sure a lot of you will know. I've been singing it many, many times with numerous girls and boys over the period of many years. If you know it, sing right along. If you don't know it, you'll know it in a hurry. Miss Mary Mac,
all dressed in black,
with silver
buttons,
all
down her back.
She asked her mother, for 15 cents,
cents,
to see the elephants
jump the fence.
They jump so high, they touch the sky, and they never came back till the 4th of July. Lie, no, they never came back till the 4th of July. I'm going to leave off a few of the words, and the words that I leave off, I would like for you to supply. Miss Mary,
back,
all dressed in
black,
with silver
buttons,
all down her
back.
She asked her
mother,
for 15
cents,
to see the
elephants.
Jump the
fence.
They jump so
high.
They touch the
sky.
And they never came
back
till the 4th of July.
Lie.
No, they never came
back
till the 4th of July.
Lie.
Now, you know, these songs change as they go from one community to another. One time I was in Ohio, and some of the girls and boys sang it in this way. Now you just repeat the last word twice. July can't walk.
Walk.
July can't talk.
Talk.
July can't eat.
Eat.
With a knife and fork.
Fork.
Then I went to another community, and they said it in this way. She went upstairs.
Stairs.
To make her bed.
Bed.
She hit her head.
Head.
On a piece of cornbread.
Bread.
Now, I'm sure that a lot of you know other versions of Mary Mac, too.
How do you like school, Billy? Close.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.